Well, we are continuing in Ephesians chapter 5, so if you will turn there, please.
We can skip the rest of the chapter.
Yeah, in the interest of speed, we will not be skipping any of the rest of chapter 5. So let's start again in verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, for we are members of his body. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife, even as himself. And let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. Now, here in the body of Christ, we have made a decision and a commitment that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our lives, that he actually has directing authority over choices, over relationships, over treasures and priorities in our life, that he has directions over thoughts, over actions, over behaviors, that he has direction authority over every aspect of our lives. And taking us at our word, so to speak, the Holy Spirit now in this passage of Scripture is getting ready to meddle in our day-to-day lives. So He's sort of kept it a little general. I mean, actually, he's done a lot of meddling already, if we're paying attention. But he's getting ready to meddle a lot more. That is, he's... Am I safe?
You might want to tuck that in your belt or something. A little bit.
Yes.
Paying attention to me.
Okay. We'll try one little rearrangement of the electronics here to keep myself from tripping and injuring the people in the front row. Okay. And as we look at this passage, I would again like us to keep several things in mind. That God is not just throwing out a bunch of random ideas. That in all of this book, we get to keep remembering idea builds on idea, truth builds on truth. Everything connects. Now, ultimately, everything connects to the ways and the character of God himself. And hopefully we'll keep seeing that. But that as we look at God's teaching on marriage, I want us to keep in mind where we're coming from. We're just coming from in verse 21, where he says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. So we looked at that's a subject meaning every one of you to every other one of you. That in the body of Christ, there is something that we looked at last week of submission to each other's needs and submission to each other's priorities, submission to each other's true welfare, that God has already talked about repeatedly in Scripture and will continue to talk about. And he's saying the body of Christ should be characterized. Every relationship in the body of Christ gets to keep maturing in this mindset that I learn what it means to be in a conversation with God where I'm considering your true welfare, where you learn to be in a conversation with God where you're considering my true welfare and we're considering each other's true welfare, and that that plays into our relationships in terms of actual choices and decisions. And not just a philosophy for a couple hours on Sunday morning, but that it plays into how we do all our relationships. How we get together on Sunday and fellowship together. How we pray for each other. How we capture the things that concern somebody else and keep them in our prayers. That we remain a servant to each other's needs and each other's travails and each other's struggles and each other's triumphs. That we remain a servant. Actually, go to Philippians chapter 2. And we looked at this last week. Or we looked at part of this last week. In Philippians 2, we looked at the part where he says in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So we already looked at that in terms of this quality of being subject to one another, again, is a profound idea. And the example of that given in the next few verses, he says, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Now, that recognition that here's how Jesus carried out His recognition that he decided, pay attention to what Scripture is saying here, Jesus decided that you and I were more important than himself. Jesus didn't decide that we were holier than him. He didn't decide that we were more deserving than him. He didn't decide that we were better than him. But out of a love commitment, he decided we were more important to him than him. We were more important to him than himself. And now we're in this passage talking about marriage, where we've got this, be subject to one another. And actually, don't forget, he's already said this. Be filled with the Spirit. These are all a continuous array of thoughts and ideas. I am determined to break something or hurt myself today with my electronic cord. So we'll try to avoid that. But this idea, be filled with the Spirit, leads to this idea. Now, because you're filled with the Spirit, now grow in this attitude of subjection, of submission to one another's true welfare. And then without even adding a verb, and we talked about this, without adding a verb, he now talks to wives. And he says, now, that thing about being subject to one another, wives, again, no subject, he just says, wives to your own husbands. I mean, no verb. Wives to your own husbands. But the idea is there because he did include the word. In fact, it's emphasized. Be subject. By the very fact that he didn't include it, it's actually emphasized. It's like, where's the verb? What is he saying in this sentence? We have to actually go look. He's saying be subject. We have to hunt for it. Be subject to your own husbands. And let's keep it in the context. So let's keep going. But he says, and then husbands, and I know we're skipping a lot that we will try to keep coming back to. Husbands, love your wives. Now, real simply, what's missing here and what's missing here from the passage? Wives, be subject to your own husbands.
As Christ.
He says, as to the Lord. And husbands, love your wives as Christ. Love the church. How many people think you've heard a sermon on this at least 50 times in your life? Okay. And the rest of you just aren't old enough. You're coming. But hopefully, everybody in this room recognizes I have something to gain from this study. that if I'm a husband or have a wife, there is still layers and aspects of how wives honor their husbands and husbands love their wives. There are still things that God wants me personally to keep learning out of this. And if you're not a husband or wife, but you know anybody who is, or someday you hope to be, you still have things to keep gaining in your knowledge and your wisdom and understanding of these things, so that either for your own future or for the future of those you care about and are praying about, that these truths are being planted and encouraged in our lives. Now, one of the things that's true about Ephesians, we sort of got that up there, so I want to give a little bit of background about this whole book. This whole book is about a different kingdom. So God knows as he's writing this book, he's telling us about living a completely different life than would be natural for us. He's talking about living a completely different life in relationship with him than would be natural for us, and in relationship to each other than would be natural for us. He doesn't give commands because we're going to stumble into it. He gives commands because we wouldn't go there without a submission to his will and a recognition that we're going to have to pursue it. So, first of all, understand that if you're a nice woman, if you're just a really nice woman, you can't do this. If you're just a really nice guy, you can't do this. You can only do this, and I can only do this, we can only pursue and grow in this, if we're recognizing an agreement. I live in a different kingdom that operates by different principles, and if I'm going to have any hope of living what you're teaching me right now, Father, I have to determine that I'm going to live filled with the Spirit. Amen. I cannot do this myself. And whatever I do that looks like this, if I'm doing it myself, it still won't be the real thing, and it won't get done what you wanted to get done. I know I've said that 100 times. Get used to it, another 1,000 if you put up with me long enough. Whatever I get done apart from him isn't the same thing he wanted to get done. No matter how good it looks, it's not the same thing, and it won't have the same supernatural effect. And we won't get to kids yet. That'll be 7 weeks all by itself. But when we're raising our children, this supernatural process is what they need to see if we're going to impact their lives for their future marriages. If they hear us say this stuff, and then they watch us absolutely live in the power of our flesh, we haven't taught them much. In fact, if anything, we may actually embitter them against the truth. And God will address that as we keep going into relationships. So part of our humble acceptance of this is, Father, I can't do this stuff apart from you, and I will never be finished learning it, so I'm going to stay a humble student. I want to keep learning. Anybody in the room been married for over 50 years? Married for over 50 years. Anybody married for over 40 years? Okay, well, absolutely. Welcome to junior high, okay? For the rest of us, we're still in grade school. Some of us are in kindergarten. This is a lifelong process. Seriously, this is a lifelong process of learning the truth and the power of a supernatural kingdom that can't be defined by what mommy and daddy taught me, that can't be limited by what mommy and daddy taught me, that I have to keep going to this new kingdom and the principles and truths of this new kingdom to keep discovering how to do this. That's why we're not going to rush through this in 1 week. Now, go to another passage. Wait, actually, let me change my board first. Because I want us to compare some ideas. So we've got this wife king. Wives, be subject. Husbands, love. I remember being in a Bible study, actually not that many years ago, and a young lady spoke up and she said, "I'm glad that God commanded the husbands to love the wives, and he didn't command the wives to love the husbands." Because she says, "I can respect him a little bit easier than I can love him." Okay, let's turn to Titus 3. I'm sorry.
Turn to Titus 2. Right after the Timothys. Because God, in kindness, put all the T's together.
Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus.
And God is actually here teaching older women, but listen to what he says. Starting in verse 3 of chapter 2. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. So, sorry, women.
Gotta love them too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, to the wives, he's saying be subject, but he's still saying this will be an aspect of love. This is not a separate thing. Now, go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Right after James. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look at verse 7. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way. Okay, that's got to go on the board. Because, without being facetious at all, although I am being facetious, without emphasizing being facetious at all, this is a supernatural process. So he's not saying, husbands, understand your wives to the extent that you and your male wisdom think it's worth understanding. This is a command. I'm commanding you to do and seek and pursue a level of understanding about the makeup, the needs, the design of this woman that only my spirit can help you get to. So we do get to recognize this is a command. This is part of the process. If I'm going to live God's design, God's supernatural design for me as a husband, for you guys as husbands, for some of you younger guys in a future as a husband, are you taking notes on this? That this understanding is a supernatural process. He doesn't mean human understanding.
What verse is that?
It's not in there. I just made it up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
What about be subject to one another? That kind of covers.
We'll come back to that. Yeah, that's the foundation for the whole thing. So you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. We'll come back to that. And grant her honor. But then again, so that we don't shortchange this, so that we don't decide, I get to decide what honor looks like. I get to decide how much honor, I get to decide how large and high an honor. He gives it this definition. Honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. A fellow heir of the grace of life. Now, a fellow heir of the grace of life, whose life did you inherit? I don't want to do another 20-minute Bible study just to cover this part. You inherited the life of Christ. That is the only inheritance of life you and I have. We inherited the life of Christ. That we have been given Jesus Christ. And part of what God is saying is, husbands, if you're going to understand your wives properly and you're going to honor them properly, here's part of what has to be front and center in our growing awareness, is that all of this includes this recognition that Carrie, my wife, has inherited all of Jesus Christ the same as I am.
Amen.
That Carrie, my wife, is truly, literally, in the Father's eyes, seated in Christ at the right hand of the Father in that position of intimacy and authority. She sits in the position of the firstborn with Jesus next to the Father. And I've inherited that. And my treatment of Carrie, how I speak to Carrie when I'm upset with her, how I speak to her when she starts it and she's upset with me first, how I react to her flesh, how I react to her goodness or her sinfulness, how I react to her when she's right, how I react to her when she's wrong, how I react to her when I'm right or when I'm wrong, all of that is saying, God's saying, never forget who she really is.
Amen.
Keep treating her that way. Keep deciding with God, and you know, all of this, there's so much we can pack in here. That God's saying, learn to think this way. So that husbands, you and I are learning to think that while I'm dealing with my wife, and right now maybe I'm not happy with her. Maybe right now I don't like what she's saying, or maybe right now we're not on the same wavelength. And trying to understand here right now looks like we're not talking Mars and Venus, we're talking different galaxies. And God is still saying, but pursue this awareness. She is holy in the eyes of the Father. Treat her that way. Speak to her that way. Now, he's also saying to the wives, again, as to the Lord, so let's go back to that for a second. And there's a double layer of meaning in this portion of the command to wives. Because he's saying, you relate to your husband with the recognition your real submission is to the Lord. So that's part of the safety net for wives. That's part of the safety net, in fact, for anybody responding to a hierarchy of authority. So this hierarchy of authority, we talked about being subject last week, that it includes the hierarchy of authority. It includes a chosen sense or imputed sense of importance. It can include obedience and honor to someone that we believe deserves it. But this hierarchy of authority part, biblically, except in relationship to God Himself, is not about superiority. It is not about better goodness. It is not about being smarter. That when He commands us to be subject to the authority of governors and to be subject to the authority of kings, He's not saying, because they're smarter than you, Anyway, He's not saying that. But He is saying, but I really want you to be serious about recognizing I and my sovereign grace have allowed governments and kings and governors to operate. Amen. And they are a tool in my sovereignty to carry out my purposes. And because you can trust me, despite the imperfection and the sinfulness, the unfinished quality of those men and women, you are still free to be subject to them without fear. Because even though they won't always get it right, I will always get it right in my relationship with you. I'm your backup. The governor is not your backup. The government is not your backup. The king is not your backup. Your husbands are not your backup. Your parents are not your backup. No human authority is your backup. But in this, he said, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And so that again, is the backdrop for all this. Because I'm recognizing I can pursue all the layers of submission that God's going to be teaching us in these passages safely, because I am in reverential awe of this Lord I belong to, and He will not and cannot let me down. I will never obey Him and come up short. I can't obey Him and be cheated by men. I can't obey Him and have someone end up thinking or feeling, believing something about me that is not true. I can absolutely be faithful to God, and somebody can steal my stuff, take away my reputation or take away my position. Somebody can do damage to me here on the planet, and God can say, yes, I allowed that. And you will not come up short. You will not be shortchanged if you are trusting me in that process. I'm your backup. And first of all, He's your backup because He can undo anything that any authority does. In fact, that's what we're praying for. Is it Samuel? Samuel. Samuel, okay. I just reversed them. I was 75% correct. Samuel, right? Samuel. Okay. I want to get it down, so I'm praying for the right guy. That this is not a matter of a government having the last word. This is a matter of God having the last word. Now, should God allow Samuel to not be delivered from what we're praying for, it will not be because God let him down. It will not be because God didn't hear our prayers. It will be because God can say, I'm your backup and I'm working on something even larger. And that we get to remember that when husbands are imperfect, because they will be, that a wife gets to recognize, I can still pursue honor toward this husband
Because God is my backup. The children, as you're being trying to be obedient and honorable to parents that are less than perfect, that you're still remembering the same thing. If my heart is desiring obedience to my parents because I'm really choosing to obey God, I can't be cheated. Yes, I might not get my iPhone. And yes, I might not get to hang out with my friends on the night I wanted to. But I cannot be cheated out of real treasure, because if I'm seeking that obedience and honor because I'm really subject in this amazing awe of who Christ is in my life, I can't be cheated. He's my backup. Now, one of the things I do want you to notice here is that wives, just like husbands, are commanded to love. And in a different way, because again, it's different than the hierarchy, but he's still saying, husbands, you better grow in that honor towards your wife. This is not about the husbands being in charge. And that's why I wanted to read that Philippians 2 passage. He says, here's the model of leadership that husbands get to grow in. It means that your leadership serves the true interests of the people you lead. So this isn't about who gets to decide what TV show we watch. That's all about preference. But that I would use my influence and my presence in the home as a leader out of some pursuit with God, out of some genuine pursuit with God of what is in my wife's true best interest. What is in my daughter's true best interest? From God's perspective. Not from the perspective of my convenience. Because my convenience will bend and twist things horribly. But if I'm pursuing this in a father-son conversation where I'm actually consulting, Father, what is their true best interest in this decision that needs to be made? Now, guess what happens in relationships? If I'm really caring about my wife's true interests or my daughter's true interests, the people I lead, I'm going to need to do some of this. Give me, I can spell it. I'm going to have to communicate with them. Because in many instances, God will allow Carrie, my wife, to be the expert on what she's thinking, feeling, and needing. And in many instances, God will allow my daughter to be the expert on what she's thinking, feeling, and needing. So I can, with the holiest of intentions, with the most righteous of intentions, really mangle this process if I block out communication. If I'm not finding out what's going on in my wife's heart and mind and life, if I'm not finding out what's going on in my daughter's heart and mind and life, that effective leadership requires communication. And the reason for this is because different than God, I don't know everything. So Jesus really could say, I know exactly how to be the most powerful leader in Reg's life. I'm going to go die for him. That is exactly what he needs. He didn't have to ask my opinion. In fact, if he'd asked my opinion before he did it, assuming we had that conversation outside of time, I would have been too foolish to send him on that mission. I wouldn't have known my true need. I wasn't the expert on it. But here on planet Earth, I am not God. I am never given a command to read my wife's mind. I'm commanded, we're both commanded, to speak the truth in love. So there's a process of communication that means if I'm really out to lead well, I communicate with the people I lead. That's true for elders in a church. That's true for parents with their children. That anyone who's going to lead well communicates with those they lead. That we actually seek to find out what's going on in that heart. Where are they? What is their true need going to be revealed by finding out what's really going on? And that might mean that I go back to that passage and be quick to hear, slow to speak. He's talking about anger, but that part of it all by itself is good. Be quick to hear and slow to speak. That will be the quickest way I can find out what's going on in somebody else's heart, is to let them know I'm really listening, and I'm not going to interrupt, and I'm not going to shut you down, and I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm going to actually find out as patiently as I can what's going on. And then my leadership may be a little bit wiser out of that father-son conversation. Now, it's already noon, and so we are going to end now, but we are not done by any stretch of the imagination, as you well know. But here's what I would encourage husbands and wives.
So only 11 o'clock.
It's only 11 o'clock. Oh, that's right. I've got it.
Oh, well. Thanks for the effort. I appreciate the effort.
No, we would recognize again, Father, I if I'm going to grow in this, I first of all have to agree with you that I need to grow in this. I agree with you that I need to grow in this. I, Reg Larkin, I need to grow in this stuff. Insert your own name. That we agree with him that we need to grow. That we agree with him. Father, I cannot grow apart from the filling of your Spirit. I cannot grow apart from the life of Christ. I cannot grow without my agreement that I am going to be pursuing the true best interest of those I interact with and lead. Larry.
You said you were going to come back to that the vessel thing.
Yes.
Is that strictly physical? Because I think so many women who are so much stronger in so many areas.
It's more than physical. So we'll come back to that next week because I don't want to just say something that leaves people confused. So we will definitely come back to that. So continue my thought that we would be in agreement with God. I'm pursuing this and I'm pursuing this so I can grow in these things. And again, if you're not a husband or wife right now, if that's not your current relationship, you still have powerful position of prayer on behalf of those people you do know that are married. If you're young enough and one day you might be married, you still get to pursue this in the recognition, Father, I want to learn to think this way now rather than letting the world train me how to think over the next 10, 15, 20 years or the next 3 months or however long till I find and meet that person that I'm going to marry. I want to be trained in a different way of thinking in this new kingdom. And I want to start doing that now. I don't want to wait till it's too late because I've absorbed a whole pack of lies. So let's pray together. Father, I do thank you that we belong to a different kingdom. That everybody in this room who's put their faith in Jesus Christ now belongs to this majestic and eternal kingdom. And Father, one day the kingdom will be brought to its full blossom. And we're not there yet. But one thing you make clear is that one of the ways you work your kingdom here on planet Earth, one of the ways you work out the impact of your kingdom on planet Earth, is the fellowship of the body of Christ. Father, that we get to be the life and the truth and the comfort and the love of Jesus Christ to each other in the real world. And that it's real, Father. You're not pretending it. It's not a philosophical overstatement. That we really get to choose an agreement with you that your Spirit will teach and love and comfort the person to my right and my left because you dwell in me. And that they will comfort and teach me because you dwell in me. And Father, you take that further and you do as families where you really do intend that those who belong to you live relationships in a profoundly different way than the world. Father, that we're not about power, we're not about control, we're not about selfishness. Father, that we have to overcome those things, and you've given us the authority to overcome those natural tendencies and to pursue true servanthood to each other's true needs. That the wife gets to pursue, Father, her husband's true needs to be a helpmate in accomplishing your purposes in all of those areas in her husband's life. To be a true helpmate in strengthening his leadership in the lives of his children. To be a true helpmate, Father, in accomplishing your ministries through that man. And that the man takes that same mindset of humility and submission, Father. That he's not in charge. He is a leader. That he's to lead in the direction that your Spirit sets out for the true welfare of wife and children. And that there is a tenderness and a compassion and a listening heart that equips us as husbands to do that more effectively. Father, we're all still growing in these things. So we very, very humbly acknowledge we still need you to teach us more. And we thank you that you're ready in Jesus' name. Amen.